Okay. This is Jose Ramos, and I'm currently at the Huntsville Police Department, and it is currently 3:45 p.m., October 21st of 2022, and I am currently with Officer Fauch. Officer Fauch, how are you doing today?
Fine, sir. Thank you.
Alrighty, sir. So I wanted to go ahead and just ask you a couple of questions over the history of the Huntsville Police Department and regarding the technology and how it's evolved from back then up until now. And so the first question I have for you is, when did the Huntsville Police Department first open?
So the city became incorporated in 1879. And although I don't have records going back that far with regards to the police department, it's assumed that we started at around that same time. We are one of the oldest police departments in the state of Texas, being Nacogdoches, Texas Police Department being the oldest. But we're a very old agency. We weren't called a police department back then. They had what was called city marshals, and there was one marshal, and then he would have a deputy or two, or what we would call a night watchman.
Okay. And so over the past couple of years, ever since Huntsville began having its police department, how many different departments has Huntsville had?
Yeah, so just one, but the job has changed, like I just previously talked about. So originally was a city marshal office, and then it transformed into the city municipal police department.
Okay, and so then when was technology first introduced to the police department?
So I have a story on that. So radios would have probably been the very first piece of technology used to communicate from the dispatch center to the patrol officer. And then back in the early days of our department, we were dispatching calls through a call box. And so obviously there wasn't any radios in the car. There wasn't any handheld radios. And so the way the officer would get the phone or would get notification and respond someplace is he would have to go to a strategically placed phone box within his beat and then pick up the phone and then call dispatch. Dispatch would say, hey, I need you to go to this address. There's been a disturbance and you need to respond. What I found out through my research is that very early on, we forged a partnership with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice and specifically the Walls Unit. So the Walls Unit served as a relay station for our department. They would call the Walls Unit, and the Walls Unit would get like the calls, and then the officers would learn where the call was, and then they would dispatch to it. And then shortly thereafter, or about the same time, there was a red light on top of the courthouse. Now, the courthouse that's there now is not the original courthouse. It burned down. But the original courthouse had a red light on it. And then when that red light would go on, that would be an indicator for the beat police officer to stop his car or to walk to the call box to pick up the phone to talk to the dispatcher to see where the call was. So that was the very first form of technology that I can remember coming across in the Huntsville Police Department.
Oh, okay. And then what year was that again?
That probably would have been in the early 30s.
Early 30s. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then it's been a while. I for a minute thought that it wasn't introduced until like the 50s or 60s or 70s, but that's even more interesting that it was introduced back way back like 1930s.
Yeah, our department was very progressive with regards to that because the Walls Unit actually had pickets, and you know, obviously it's the four corners of the prison system, and then they served as lookouts, and then you know the overnight folks, they would hear things like a window breaking or car screeching or something, and they would call in, and then a dispatcher would be dispatched to check it out.
Oh, okay. All righty. So then, from when you first started to work as a police officer up until now, how has technology changed in the way that you guys work?
Yeah, so dramatically. So my specialty for the majority of my career has been criminal investigations. And so you can't beat good old fashioned police work. And what I mean by that is you go door to door talking to people. And because when you talk to people, people know things, people have heard things, and so you've got to put in the time, you've got to put in the effort, you've got to walk the scene. And so that has remained the same, but what has changed is when we used to catch bad guys, we would catch them in a story, and they would have an alibi, and we would say, well, what was your alibi? And then, you know, they would produce receipts, or we would go and find receipts where they stopped at some place and we had a date and time stamp, and we could refute their story or their alibi and say, no, that's not true because I have you in a Walgreens at this date and this time buying this. And then videos came shortly thereafter. Now it's cell phones. So cell phones are the digital footprint for a criminal investigation. So a lot of people don't know, but when you have your cell phone, you turn on location apps, like if you're going to go check the weather or something, and, you know, it's no big deal, and if you're a bad guy, you don't have to worry about it. But as you travel up and down 45, there's a series of cellular towers. As you approach each tower, you're leaving what's called a breadcrumb. And so if, let's just say hypothetically, a crime occurred in the city of Huntsville last night, and we developed you as a suspect, and we said, hey, we want to talk to you about this. What do you know about this? You're like, I wasn't even there. I was in Galveston. And then if they offer up their phone, which sometimes they do, but it's, sometimes they don't, then we go through the proper procedure, a search warrant, and we gather their phone. We can take their phone, and we can do a geolocate on where they were at the time of the crime. And so that has become commonplace in investigation is digital media. You know, if you're posting on Facebook, you can have like a geo marker that's placed where you posted that picture at. So everything now is, for the most part, is digital. And we didn't have that in the beginning.
Oh, okay, so basically y'all guys are using things that are introduced on phones now, like social media and then like the location on the current apps that we use to be able to determine whether what a suspect is saying is true or not.
That is correct. We use it for a secondary piece of evidence. So obviously eyewitness is the best or confession is the best. But then we have what we call a collateral evidence, and that is, you know, a date and time stamp on a phone or a geolocation, a posting of a social media picture or text thread, and what the text thread contained, a Google search, what they searched. I mean, all these things are taken into consideration.
Oh, okay. Alrighty, that's very interesting. And so then when did police officers first start working with computers in their vehicles?
So you're talking about the mobile data terminal, in most departments in the early 90s, maybe late 80s or mid 80s, large departments have it, had mobile, digital, terminals. And basically the reason why was because the radio waves were getting clogged up because you're in a urban environment. Everybody's getting on the radio running or doing a traffic stop, or dispatch is trying to send somebody to a hot call like a burglary in progress or something, and you could not get any radio time. So it was created out of necessity to communicate with the officers in the field. And the Huntsville Police Department did not get those until probably the early 2000s. I started in 1995. We did not have those at the time. And then probably 5 years later, we started filtering those in. But it wasn't a perfect system because the infrastructure wasn't built yet. And then so over the years, the infrastructure has come north from a major metropolitan area. And so with the infrastructure, you can now communicate seamlessly from the patrol unit to the dispatch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was always wondering, because I've always seen them in the vehicles, and I just never knew. So I knew that you could access certain information on there. I just didn't know exactly what it was, and I've seen it in movies and everything like that. And when you give citations, where exactly does that come from? Like when you print out the paper and everything.
Yeah, so that is another technology advancement. So back in the day, we would handwrite citations, and in the event of computers go down or something, we still have access to that. But the preferred method now is what's called an e-ticket writer, electronic ticket writer. And essentially what the officer does, he takes your driver's license and he can swipe it, and everything that's on your driver's license will auto-populate. So whatever the address is, it'll populate, and you'll ask some questions about phone numbers and stuff like that. It's kind of problematic in Huntsville because the majority of our students do not reside locally, nor do they have a local address. So you always have to ask for a secondary address, because the address on their driver's license more than likely is their home residence back from wherever they're from. But it will auto-populate, and there's a thermal printer inside the e-ticket writer, and then it will print out the citation, and then you hand it to the violator.
Okay, yeah, because I was always back when I was a kid, I always so I would watch. There was this one cartoon that I watched, and I really didn't know until I grew up that when you get a citation, it's in the system, because I saw in this cartoon that I watched growing up, they made it seem like you get a citation and they forget about it, and this dude had like his glove department filled with like 30 citations. And so I always, like, as a kid, I thought like, oh, like a ticket, they'll forget about it. But then as I grew up, I realized no, they have it in the system. And especially now with technology, I know that once they give you a citation, then it's in the system. But, and so on to the next question. And so how were criminal records kept back then than how they were today?
Yeah. So as you can imagine, I don't know how old you are, but if you remember the Dewey Decimal System in the library. Mm-hmm. So in order to check out a book, you would go to the library and you would go to the index, catalog, and then you would look it up, and then you'll pull out a card, then you have to go and find it. Well, back in the day, and we actually still have those records because we have to keep them for an extended period of time on certain offenses like felonies. The rate of retention is in effect, but it was paper copies, and so each arrestee had their own file. And basically it was all their bio markers, name, date of birth, social, place of birth, last known address, phone number. And then, repeat offenders, obviously their file would get bigger. You know, you would have your town drunks, you would have your, people who got in fights a lot. So basically you somewhat got profiled because of your arrest, because in 20, let's just say 2019, not so much 2019, but let's just say 1972, you were involved in four bar fights and you got arrested each time. And so you would have four fights in your record. A lot of that now is, it is digitized, and we don't maintain the records. We maintain the local copy, but we send everything to the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Records Division. and they are the state clearinghouse for maintaining criminal records. When you get arrested, you get fingerprinted, and those fingerprints go both to DPS and both to FBI. And you get a unique identifier, a number to your name. In the state of Texas, it is a SID number. And then FBI actually has an FBI number. And that number will track you throughout the entire criminal justice process. So you're arrested, you're innocent until proven guilty. You have a show up date, answer to the charges. You make a plea. If you plead not guilty, then you set it for trial. And then so that unique identifier will record your activity within the criminal justice system on that one offense that you committed.
And so when exactly does your information begin to get passed on to, like, the FBI?
Immediately? So, yeah. A lot of that is before, and that's another technological advantage. Before, we would, and we still do, hand roll fingerprints, and it would take a, you know, a time frame, like a 10-day window, to send those off through the physical mail. Now those are digitized and immediately uploaded. And that's been beneficial for, like, wanted felons, people who get arrested and they're wanted from another state for, you know, a heinous crime or something. We immediately can identify them as from their fingerprints. Fingerprints are unique to each individual. And then that's the other way that technology has changed. Before, it was all about fingerprints, and now it's all about DNA. And DNA has become so commonplace that it's hard for you to walk into your room and not leave some form of DNA. And that's very unique to you, more so than a fingerprint.
So, like a piece of hair or a piece of clothing or anything like that, or skin?
Yep. And there's a rule that it's hard for you to walk in a room and not leave some form of DNA, whether you touch something or whether, you know, you scratch your head and a, you know, piece of dandruff or something falls out. That's all considered DNA evidence.
Wow, that's really interesting. And so then what is the most old school police instrument that you guys still have today?
Yeah, so there's a couple, but what's used right from the very get go till now is the police baton. So the police baton over the years has not fared well with regards to public opinion, but it's created to create distance from you and somebody that's trying to cause you harm. That is the whole purpose of the baton. And so, back in the day, it was a straight baton, and so you could, you know, push that baton out in front of you and keep somebody away from you until you got help or until you could get away or until you could control the individual. And then now we still have batons, but they're collapsible batons, and so you don't readily see them. They're on the officer's belt, and then when the officer deploys them, they'll swing it out, and it will go to extended length, and it's designed to create distance between you and somebody trying to hurt you. And they've been around forever.
Do you know an estimate of exactly what around which decade they've been around?
Yeah, so if you're at the police department, I actually have some pictures. The earliest pictures that I have are from the mid-30s. And there's pictures of the officers, and they have a baton on their belt. So it's been around for a long time. Even the bobbies in London had the batons.
Yeah, I've seen. I've learned in my intro to criminal justice class a couple years back that. That the bobbies back then in London, that's the main thing that they used when it came to, like, when they would walk around and patrol, and then they would have the batons on them.
Yep.
Okay. And then has technology been a burden in any way to your job?
No, we've learned to adapt and change. So, as you know, change is always difficult. And so when something comes on relatively quick, there's a learning curve. And so we've got to get people trained. We've got to get people up to speed. And this is the way that we're doing it. We have to create policy. We have to be respectful for people's constitutional rights. With regards to, you know, unreasonable searches and seizures, and make sure that we're following the law. And so, as each new piece of technology has come online, it's become an extra tool in the officer's toolkit, to bring people to justice. And then, you know, technology is only as good as the data put in. And so you can imagine if you run reports, and you're trying to do data-driven policing about, you know, crime in a certain area, like how many, so like our big hot topic right now is catalytic converters. And so, you know, we've got, groups of people coming up from the Houston area for the most part, and they're targeting, our college community and the apartment complex, and they're targeting Toyota vehicles and, you know, specifically the Toyota Tundras, because they have two catalytic converters, so they can get, you know, double bang for their buck. And so when you're trying to do data-driven policing and you're trying to figure out how many we've had over this past year, that data that's in there is only as good as the person inputting it. And so, you know, make sure that it wasn't miscoded when it came in, because instead of 40, you know, we're looking at 38 when in fact it's 40. But, you know, some data clerk or some records clerk did not enter correctly. And then so you don't have an accurate account. And then, like, we're currently experiencing now, we have a computer outage. And so that will happen from time to time with viruses and stuff like that.
Okay. And so finally, so what new technology is being made now for the future use of the police department?
Yes, so not just for the police department, but in law enforcement in general. Just came back from a international chief police convention in Dallas over this past weekend, and you know they're showcasing the new technology. So the new thing now is drones. We have a couple of drones, and you know drones are another tool toolbox. They're able to help on rescue missions, are able to get, you know, intel on violent crimes, you know, before you, go up on a location or before you do a SWAT operation. You can use the drone and get as much, information as possible. And information is, very key, when you know, seconds count. And so the more information you can arm an officer responding to a call or that's on a call to better prepare himself to, you know, to meet and overcome the danger that he's about to face, then, you know, that's a good thing. And so, you know, getting information to the officer quickly, using their cell phones, the officer being able to use cell phones to take pictures on scene and then, you know, relay that information back to like a command station. On like on a barricaded subject or, you know, hostage situation kind of thing. So those are all coming into play. Radar, has always been around, but radar is getting better. It's laser radar. So for speed detection. And then they actually have technology now where, taken from the military side is if you have an individual that's inside of a residence, they can scan the outside of the residence and they can see if there's anybody that's inside. It's called a flare. It's picks up body heat. So if you've got somebody in the nighttime that's hiding from the police or, you know, there's a lost child or something, then you can fly a flare, or you can, the flares are on the spotlights of the car and you can use that, and that can help you identify folks from their body heat.
Okay, and so this is already being put into use?
Yep, it's already being put into use, and then So a smaller agency or a mid-sized agency like us, there's always budgetary constraints, and so we don't always get the latest and greatest, but we try through grants and stuff, and so it's kind of a delayed process, but you know, we're behind maybe a year or two, but some of the other agencies have stuff like that as already as well.
Alrighty, Officer Felch. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It was really interesting to just get to know how y'all worked years back, and then how y'all continue to do things now, and then how the technology works nowadays. And just thank you for your time. And it just really, because me growing up, I would see all these things on TV, and so like I never really knew how it worked, or just in person when I would drive around town seeing the police officers and the different things that they have, like the radios or the mobile, what's it called? The
MDTs, mobile data terminals.
Yes, sir. And, it's just thank you so much for informing me on all this.
No problem. I wish you the best of luck on your project.
Thank you very much, Officer Felch. You have a good day. Thank you for your time.
You as well.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.